I want to share with you a little bit of a hemshich of the, he said by the Shabbos year. So I'll tell you where I'm going and then I'll go back to some point we've made of the Shabbos year. This is parsha, the parsha talks about the Easter of Shoichad. There's a very important chazanish, you said it's a chazanish in Amunah B'Tochen. Sefer, he has a sefer, a small sefer called Emunah B'Tochen from the Chazanish. So in Perek Gimel, he talks about this din of Shoichad. So the Bali Musar talking about Shoichad, a tremendous amount about Shoichad, that you know, every person has to be choshes, that there's always Shoichad which is affecting them. Rebbe Chanan talks about the din of Shoichad. He says it's a person is mechuyav timosu nefesh akedush Hashem, starting at the age of bar mitzvah, starting at the age of a person becomes a gadol. To have the clarity of understanding that the shayach, that the person understands the chiyuv of the mitzvah of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the inyan of Torah, the tzivui Hashem, to such an extent, the chara seems extraordinary that we should expect from a 13-year-old young man or 12-year-old young woman something which the greatest philosopher has grappled with. So he says that the nature of the bria is that we should see everything clearly, but there's shayachad. Right? So he approaches this with Shoichad. The Bali Musar applies Shoichad to every moment of our lives. There's things which are pulling at us, etc. Chazanish seemingly, in a certain sense, goes a different direction. He says that Shoichad, he says, there are gemaras which clearly say not like that. The loch is Chacham is right trefer la'atzmai. Chacham is not a paskin on his own trefer. Rav Gifta one time described to us what it was like. So in America, yeah, you have this big slaughterhouse, you know, and also trefer, you send it to the non-kosher side. You sell it. It says in Europe, the butcher would butcher many times was the sheikhet, or he would buy a behemoth, he would shecht it. If the animal was kosher, he would sell it for a profit and have enough money left over to buy a new one and give his family some food. It was a trefer, you'd have to sell it for very cheap to the goyim, and he took a loss. It happened twice, he was bankrupt. That was it. They weren't kavirim. They're very poor people. So a lot of the halachas talking about piskei halachas and hilchos treifas, hefzer meruba, etc. That's what I was talking about. That, you know, so he remembers his father-in-law and tells the in many cities in Litha, the rav didn't paskin the daily shilas. The daily shilas went to the dayan, the larger cities, smaller cities that didn't have a dayan, just had the rav. In larger cities, brisk, you know, the daily shilas went to Simcha Zelig, the dayan. The rav would deal with larger issues, etc. So the tells her, the dayan and tells was gifted his father-in-law, Rav Zalman Bloch. At that point in time, Rav Gifta was living by the house. He says he remembers his father-in-law was up the whole night working out a heter to be matter the behemoth. He spent 7 hours trying to caption out a way we could find a psakula to be matter the behemoth. That's what it meant. Otherwise, the loss would be so devastating to the butcher that he would starve. And the more says Chacham is right trefer la'atzmoy. I mean, in the Choshecha Golem is there. I mean, Paskin's mutter, he has what to make a parnosa and support his family. He passes also, he starves to death. But Chacham is trefer la'atzmoy. How's it possible? Chacham is the more says that Chacham Paskin tells Nida for himself. Etc. Etc. Says we have to have the muna. We have to understand the trust in the chacham that the as much as there is a shaychad, the desire for emes and the pain of sheker is much more painful to him than the shaychad. The idea of paskening heter when it's really yisr is not shaych. It's pasha not shaych. It's beyond his ability to do such a thing. Because the pain of doing such a thing was so painful to him, such an idea that he should say sheker, that it's not an option. So what's sheker then? So what's the concept of sheker? So he says, so sheker is something else totally. Sheker is halacha specifically in the situation of a dayan in Beis Din. A dayan in Beis Din is dealing with a very fascinating thing. A dayan in Beis Din is dealing with the musig of judging another human being. And human beings cannot judge human beings. A dayan in Beis Din is passing between two people. He's passing a pesach on a person, whether he's chayiv, etc., whatever it is. He's passing a din on somebody. To put justice in the bria belongs to somebody above the bria. That belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Dayanim are referred to by the Shema of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the Shemas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever they sit as a Dayan, for a reason. Because they are not themselves. They're acting as Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that parsha that a person should act as a Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to represent the Lakim Nitzah Ba'adas, that the Bereshim is there when in the Eda, when the Dayan is paskening, that requires that there cannot be any other connection that he has other than just being the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since there's a mitzvah of Shoichad, that there's some connection with it, he cannot be a Dayan anymore. And therefore that means a definition that his Pesach is possible. Because he's not a, there's no, but any case where you do not require a Dayan, Chalkim's Rosh Trefel Atzer is not a Din and Din, it's a Din and, it's a Beheter. It's a Beheter, of course he's trusted. There's no Shaila that he has to be trusted. It says, and, even in a case where the Chalkim feels that he cannot clear his head, of course he'll recuse himself. There's no shadow he accuses himself. My Rebbe multiple times that I asked him eights and different things. He said, really, oh, I can't, I don't feel like I can pass on the shadow. I don't, I feel the gaya, I can't pass. Then he should go ahead and pass it and be chashed that he's doing out the gears. He said that it's such a pechisis to him, there's such a thing, it's not shayach. I remember once reading there's a more in Kedusha, the more it says called Paisa Bumuma Paisal. So the Mor says that in the context that there's a person walking around calling everybody a mamzer. So Yehuda said, check into his yichus. It turned out that he was a mamzer. It's called a paisel b'mum a paisel. So I once saw this b'chush. Any person who met Rav Moshe, I met him one time in my life, and the reishon that I had to see the godness of the person, besides all the stories that you heard, but especially to see. So Rav Moshe gave a psak on a certain issue, and a person wrote up an article, published an article that Rav Moshe was doing because of Nagiyas. That's what he wrote publicly. So remember, my reaction is, so what's happening over here? That this person is a person who lives with Nagiyas. And Pashat, he cannot even dream that the human beings in the world don't have Nagiyas. He's so Nagua with Nagiyas, he can't even dream that people don't have Nagiyas. So therefore, he projects his concept of Nagiyas onto Rav Moshe also. It's almost called Paisel B'Mum HaPaisel. He can't picture a human being who could be beyond that. Nebuch. So he made a public statement of how low he is. That's basically what he accomplished with his article. And I think that's basically how it was taken by most of the yeshiva shevelt. To besmirch Rav Moshe publicly in a publication like that. It was like, you know. So, my Rebbe, multiple times I asked him, so, you know, I can't paskin. I don't feel comfortable paskining. And that was it. So what should I do? I don't know. But what should I do? I don't know. I can't talk about it. That's it. Conversation ended there. If I still have the gears, I can't. And then when I do, you have to trust me that I don't have the gears. So the child which comes up is, but who gets to get that title? Okay, so you're right. There are definitely people or Marsha Feinsteins of the world which we feel confident to walk around that their desire for emes and sheker is so compelling that there's no way they would pass in something incorrectly because when the geist, and they can, and they're aware of themselves enough to know that the geist is affecting them, they'll walk away. And if they don't walk away, it means they feel confident that it hasn't affected them. And we trust them in that. So that's very easy, you know. Moshe Feinstein, you know, you know where he fits into the pyramid. Right? So, but how far down the pyramid do you go? So your local rav, of course you took him because of Nagias. I mean, what else? He's not a big Talmud Chacham like Moshe Feinstein. You know, he has Nagias. Right? Your Rebbe, the guy who's got Smicha. Like, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? It's a very hard question. And that's why I mentioned to you that, you know, the definition of smicha, that the real definition of smicha, putting a person into the position of being a Mara HaRabi Yisrael, the goal wasn't to know that he knew information. The goal was to know that you feel confident that this person is going to pass correctly. To do that, you had to have understood that he has knowledge. You have to understand that he has a swear, you're sure that he thinks correctly. He can think an issue through correctly. He knows what to ask, what to answer, etc. And he has Yerushalayim. I mentioned to you that, you know, that the bechina for smicha entails was anywhere in the halacha Shulchan Aruch, which of course is a logical way to give a bechina on smicha. Rebbeinu Zatzal was very makbid that the person cannot be titled with the title of rabbi unless he really had smicha. Many times people, you know, they go out and become a rebbe, etc. They don't have a smicha. You say you can't call him a rabbi. He says why? Because you call him a rabbi, people ask him halacha shaylus. They don't know how to pass in shaylus. So that's the way it was when he was in Tells. In my days in Tells, it wasn't like that. I think, you know, he was in Tells still the 1950s. My days in Tells already, Rabbi Sally already, he got in smicha from the Reform, you know. So I go to Park for my clergy, you know, to go to visit someone in the hospital. So Rabbi Sally gets a clergy discount because she's a rabbi, and I'm not a rabbi yet. I'm just a Carlo guy. What do I know? I've just been learning 9 years post, 10 years post post high school. I don't know as much as Rabbi Sally. So she should get the discount, but not me. So the yeshiva gave everybody a conditional status of rabbi when you got married and joined the kollel. That's what they used to give you. You had a little letter. Rav? Harav, you had to have a smicha. But I once discussed with the Rebbeinu where I said, I hear your thought process. You know, I don't know what it was like in the 50s when the Rebbeinu was there, but the beginning of my days in Tel Yeshiva was on about 80 simonim. It was on Shechita and Treifas, which is about 50 plus simonim, and Basu Chalam and Harubis, which is another 25 simonim. So I've been tested. I know Baruch Hashem. I know 100 simonim of Shulchan Aruch. I learned it well, etc. So now somebody asked me about Shana Hilchos Shabbos. I don't know. I know Basu Chalam and Harubis, the Shechita and Treifas. I know. I can tell you whether the food you put into the pot was kosher or not, whether you're Mechayev Skiller for Bishul on Shabbos, Vesach Nisht. Right? So how do I pass Kosh Shaila Hilchos Avelis? What about Ribbis? But I'm a rabbi, so people think they can ask me any question. So in Europe, the Taka asked you, but there's approximately 1,800 Simonim in Shulchan Aruch. So I've been tested on 100 of them, so I have a shir. It's instead of, you know, you're talking about, you know, Chai, double Chai, this is 1/18, you know? Right, so, you know, also a siman tov. Like, what does that mean? So, what it means is that we're being made on the person that he's a murderer, Rabbi Yisrael, that he has Yerushalayim. He doesn't know; he's not going to answer. Now, it's embarrassing sometimes to say, "I don't know." You're a rabbi, especially if you're a rabbi at a shul. What? I don't know. I don't know. I'll look into it. I'll get back to you. I need to write right now. Well, I can't help you. Is this Sefer Torah kosher apostle? What's the status of this letter? I don't know. If you're a rabbi, you got to know. Mustamitz kosher. Well, we can't do mustamitz kosher because either it's not, it is or it's not. So how are you going to withstand that in the Nisoyan? It turns into something called Yerushalayim. So the third component, which we put on the Heter Harah, is that the person has Yerushalayim and he's not going to pass him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So we need to know that he has a certain amount of knowledge. We need to know, and he's tested and he learned that well. We know that he has Sora Shura, that he could talk or go through a sugya now and be Mavar, whatever the sugya might be. And then he has Yerushalayim, not the Paskin, if he shouldn't Paskin. Calls Achnis into the Heter Harah.
Heter Harah was introduced, by the way, the more talks about Heter Harah, Heter Harah Gemara was Smicha Mamish. It was the Smicha back to Rosh Rabbeinu.
The Heter Harah, which we do nowadays, was not introduced until the end of the 14th century, after the Black Death. And yet, for the first time, you had a situation where there was kehillas which didn't really have an obvious bona fide Talmud Chacham in the kehillah, and there was people who were paskening, who were not as knowledgeable. So the gedolim of the time, in the Germany, Austria were very hard hit by the Black Death. And that was the main place where at that point in time, France already had gotten rid of its Jews. So the main place where the Torah knowledge was in Germany and Austria, and they made a decree then at that point in time that they can't pass without a Heter Harah, and that became established. But even that. If you look at the Ramah brings it down in Hilchos Talmud Torah, this din of Heter Harah He says a case of, you could have a situation where a person was a Talmud of a Rav, so you never got a Heter Rav, because Kol Zman the Rav is Paskin and the Talmud doesn't Paskin. Then the Rav passes away. If the Talmud is Roy, we know that he's Roy, he can Paskin even without a Heter Rav. So you don't necessarily, but so we've seen how he's been doing. We see what he's doing, he knows what to do, etc. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have mail order smicha. You can take a set of bechinas. And they're hard bechinas. They are seriously hard bechinas. And you can, you sign up, you pay, you get a monthly, weekly, monthly amount that you have to learn. There's tests, etc. You send them back, it's graded. You get back and you get to, you take your final test. It's a chashuva test. I've seen the test. I've seen the people's, you know, people's giving me their versions of their answers. So I'm very impressed with the test. So I know that he knows the first one. I probably know he knows the second one. I don't know that he knows the third one. How do I know what his Yir Shamayim is? He has a mail order smicha. You know, they used to make fun of the mail order smicha you had during the time of the wars, when the draft was still. Now the draft is voluntary, but once upon a time, the person would get a draft number, and if there was compulsory draft here in America, but being a rabbi was a patur, so you had people being in these yeshivas, being in yeshivas was a higher institution of higher learning. They were made just as a Hechatim Sebalmo to be a shell company to allow the person not have to go to the draft. We're not worried about that anymore. Baruch Hashem. So it's a hard shaila. Like, how do we know? So Hertz is that something that you get when you're dealing with a person, you're getting to know them. Now one day, all of a sudden, the guy passing something that you don't want to hear. So now I know Taki has the gears. Now, because hurrah, he passed something I don't want to hear. Now, it might be possible that the mistake over there is not with the person. The mistake is with you. It's a possibility the person has to be choshed himself. And that's where the Bali Musa come in. That we have negiyas. We all have negiyas. And we see things through a prism. And from that prism, how we see them, we can make mistakes. The Gemara says the Rabbi made a mistake. The Gemara says, and neither Rabbi got up. The next day he says that with that which I said yesterday in Shir was a mistake. It was wrong. It was tosu, and this is the correct halacha. He corrected himself. There's nothing embarrassing to admit a mistake, but to recognize that we make mistakes and that maybe we're seeing things. So I had a maisa. It's not exactly a halacha shiloh, but You'll judge the story. So I'm going to put year. I was a barker still. So let's say in 1982, Mashuk is that a barker tells a shiva did something which a lot of other barkers were really really hurt by the fact that he lowered the standards of the shiva by doing that. And there was a strong push to have the barker really wanted that the barker should be expelled. Older barker in yeshiva felt it. It tells a shiva in my days the older barker played a very big role in the yeshiva. The older bachur in yeshiva was, I mean, they weren't young kids anymore. In those days, he didn't start dating until he was 23, 24. The guy was 6-7 years post high school already. He'd sat and learned for a few years. He knew what he was doing. An older bachur had authority to expel a bachur from the dining room if he was acting improperly, etc. There was this authority the yeshivas gave to the older bachur. So as one member of the older bachur in the yeshiva, we went to the yeshivas with a delegation to discuss this issue. Now, this person's grandfather was a major supporter of the yeshiva. And the yeshiva decided to keep the bachur in yeshiva. And we were like very like astounded that the yeshiva should hold on to this because of money. That's how we perceived it in our attitude of confidence that we, as an age of, you know, the age of a bachur, we know we understand everything in the world. Right? Fast forward 10 years. And there's a bachur in the yeshiva did something which in those days was, I don't know what it is nowadays, I assume it's the same, was immediate expulsion from yeshiva. And the bachur's father was a major supporter of the yeshiva. And immediate expulsion of the bachur and the yeshiva called me, and I was already an older young man. And I shaykhus to the father, and shaykhus to the boy a little bit. He says, you know, kicking out a bachur in the middle of his man is betzim a form of ritzicha. No yeshiva is going to take him in. Why is he kicked out in the zman? Like, where's he going to go? You know, it didn't work out. We decided to go somewhere else. Like, you know, just pumped like a month for pace. We decided to go somewhere else. Really? I mean, so let's keep until Pesach, and after Pesach, we'll send them away. And they felt that Chiba Karsa type to the father who had been tremendously immersed in efforts to help the yeshiva in many different ways. So we worked out a plan. The bacher couldn't stay in the dorm anymore, etc. He got a very significant punishment. And after Pesach, he had to leave. But this way, he wasn't obviously kicked out in the middle of the month. And remember, as I'm sitting there working out the details with the yeshiva, and I was, you know, he wanted me to administer it and talk to the bacher about it, etc. Thinking back to what the 10 years beforehand, and saying, well, how much 10 years, the famous line Mark Twain says, is he went away to college, and he came back after 4 years in college, and his father was so much smarter. Right? That's what they attribute the quote to Mark Twain, you know. So I didn't have 4 years, I had 10 years. It says, you know, I came back, and the sheep had much less negiyas now than I thought he had 10 years ago. It wasn't because he had negiyas because of the moment, because he felt the chiva curse of time to somebody. So what was wrong? Me and my bacherhood and my cleric, it's because of money, you know, yeah. It's because of the negiyas. And 10 years later, I realized it wasn't the negiyas. The pashut, he felt the chiyuv of a curse of time. And that achrayus was mechayev him to deal with it in a certain way. It's totally the same ma'isa, totally different way of looking at it. We have you've been by Mesudas, some of you have been by Mesudas, we do the Ayin Tova challenge, right? Take a situation and see if you can look at it in a positive way. Every single story can be interpreted in multiple ways. The decision to interpret it negatively or positively is up to us. There's a mile of interpreting something positively. Many times it'll affect me positively. There's lessons which can be learned, etc. So beyond dan lechav skus of the other person, for myself, I can walk away with a lesson which is positive. So instead of attributing it to negiyas, I say maybe there's more to the story. So this issue has been on my mind for a while. There was an event, some event which happened over here, and the Talmud came to me that he received a psak about something, he had promised X, then they did Y to him, and they rebutted him, and this and that, and a whole anger against the, etc. So I said, this is who's a Rav, etc. And, you know, looking back and a little bit, I recognized part of the issue. It was, I'm not judging somebody's Nisoyan. It was a significant financial loss. And the Gemara says that a person's under tremendous pressure. He says things that he regrets. And he sees things from that division. So I'm not judging anybody. That's not the point. But that the ability to step back at that moment and see it, see that there's another side to the story, there's another picture, is very hard. As a matter of fact, you try and explain to the person, sometimes it just makes it more entrenched. And we do the same thing all the time. We do it to ourselves. So you have to realize that we step back with some clarity. You're right. So there's a fascinating chinuch. The chinuch says, in this of loisikim loisitu, says, in this of nekama, taking revenge. This is Lositer bearing a grudge. Bearing a grudge means somebody did something bad to me and I'm upset about it. So this is a form of Lositer. I don't doubt the person L'chav Skus, he did it for good reasons, he did it for bad reasons, so now I'm upset about him. And I decide that he's a bad person or he did a bad thing, he's not a bad person, he did a bad thing, however I want to say it to make it sound, you know, fit into my picture. But moving on is very hard. So the Chinuch says, I don't expect you to be like stone. The Russian does not expect to be like stone. At that moment, there's pain. Just like, yeah, you know, yeah, Gabaldik. David HaMelech is accomplished in such madrigas. David HaMelech is running away. His son is trying to kill him. Klai Yisrael has abandoned him. He's running away. He comes to Shimon Megera. Shimon Megera was the Rebbe of his of Shlomo HaMelech. Shimon Megera was the Gadol HaDor. Shimon Megera comes out to greet him. And gives him a kol nimretzis, a running curse. So, you know, he didn't give him a stomach a kol. He gave him a kol nimretzis. You know, Gvaldik. Right, Baruch Hashem. This is, you know. So the people are with David Melech say, he's Chayav Misa. He's Mekal the Melech. Leave him Hashem Amar Lo Kelel. Bershim told him to give the kol. So Chazal say, at that moment, David Melech became the regular Vila of Rekhava. That Madrega is so beyond our the average human being. He joined Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, becoming the fourth support for the Merkava. That's not a madriga for what we're expected. The guy's screaming, giving me klolas, shasmai, so the Golodor is giving me klolas, and I'm saying, it's not his fault, the Bershom made him do it, and it's not, I have no tainus in him. We're not holding by that madriga. We're not mechiv the whole by the madriga. That's not loisita. Loisita means, kashiyar is man ma. The time moves on. Look back and realize the Bershom runs the world. And whatever was what happened to you wasn't because the person had the gears, it was because it's supposed to happen to you. Did he have the gears? I don't know, but what's in the gear? If he did, the Bershom will deal with him. And he didn't, so he didn't, you know. But it's a moot issue. Because it's not the issue anymore. The issue was, if it was supposed to happen to you, it happened to you. Right? So there's a lot of the times, the gears which we have makes us look at things negatively. And then we project negativity on the other individual. And all we're doing is really trying to protect ourselves. And that's a mistake. So on Shabbos, very briefly, we spoke about this idea that the Chachamim, the Bershom left the Torah open, open-ended for interpretation, because the Bershom, as it were, made the Chachamim, trusting the Bershom knew how they're going to see it in the future. The Bershom put all the options there in the Torah. And various Chachamim will find those various different options at the appropriate time and the appropriate place to bring out those points. So the Bershom, as it were, deputized the Chachamim to find those points. So they've been given the authority, and they finish writing the Torah, as it were. That little piece of Torah is completed through them. So they mamash become a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that part of Torah has to be erlich. When you're poshut interpreting Torah, that, like the Chazan says, that's, that moment you're shliach Hashem. That's not shayach and ishach. But what, so what's pshat? The Bershom knows my nature and the way I look at things, etc. I'm going to see this point. I don't know, but that's not shayach. That's using the toy that I have, my milas, to see that point. That's not called shayach. But I have to test it. The Sivas Takemis. I can't just say, nearly upshot. Oh, Baruch Hashem, it came to me. Blitz, clore, that's what the Bershom meant. So, I just give to the night before, he used to say pilpul shir. He would cause over the shir the whole night to see if maybe it's not emes. He would walk back and forth in his house, saying over the shir again and again to see maybe it's not true. Maybe there's something over there which is not emes, because the goal over here is emes, not my. Now, he thought of it because he's him. That's why he thought of it. But after you thought of it, you have to say, okay, so now that I thought of it, let's take a test. It's always gehalten. Does it stream with everything that I know in all of Shas? Let's test it. So the Bershom gave me a certain nature that I'm able to uncover and find a certain thing. And I was deputized, as it were, in a certain sense, to find that point. But that's not now it's my achrayus to make sure that it's rain, that it's pure. It's not just some, because I like the vort, and therefore, you know, it speaks to me, and therefore that's the vort. But does it shtim with what I've learned from my rebbeim and how I learned Torah? Does it shtim with, is that really the message that the Bershom wants to give over? That nekuda, taka nechazanish, tzol negeya, that nekuda, that to be a shliach of Kadosh Baruch Hu, to find that point, it has to taka be rain. Right.